Morning.
Good morning.
All right. I just want to start off by leading us in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for another day. We can come in fellowship and be with you and be with the saints. And just grateful that we have another day to serve you and learn more about your word. And let the Holy Spirit guide these words today, your words, these eternal words that you have given to us, Lord. And thank you for everything that we have and everything that you've given us, all spiritual blessings. And thank you for our family and friends, and be with the ones that need guidance, and be with the ones that are sick and need help, and just be with us today and let us focus on your word, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All right. So, last time, I've been doing like compare and contrasts lately, but when I first started, I was in Philippians, and we went through how the Apostle Paul was in, jail and wrote that letter for us to rejoice in our tribulations and everything, that just to see how he was, and now to rejoice in tribulations. And but now I'm going to be in Colossians, so which is another of a prison epistle that Paul wrote in jail. And but before we start, then I'm just really grateful to be up here, to be just like all of us. We want to be available for the Lord, and I'm just grateful just to be available and to be able to teach and maybe and throw perspective out to, the saints and everybody listening, so we can grow and for the furtherance of the gospel. So I want to go to 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58 real quick. I just want to read this because something that 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And that something we should be reminded of daily. Just was thinking of it today, and something that made me feel good about the day. So therefore, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So our labor is not in vain. Whatever we do, just know when we go out into the world after church and throughout every day, that our labor is not in vain, and the Lord is there. So, counting us worthy. But, all right, so, Colossians. So the book of Colossians is, like I said, a prison epistle. Paul wrote it while he was in jail, and he in Philippians, and he was obviously he was locked up in Nero's palace, and they had him locked down, so he had a lot of things to be down about, but he wasn't. So, and he found out about these saints, which we'll learn about, and then he wrote to them just to show that he was appreciative of them. And the book of Ephesians is our position. Philippians is to rejoice through trials, that book. And this book, he has warnings. He has some warnings for us that he gave to the Colossians that we could use for today. And we can go to Colossians right now. And Colossians chapter 2, verse 8. So he has three warnings that the book of Colossians, will kind of skim through real quick what's going on. And verse 8 is, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after traditions of men, after the rudiments of this world, and not after Christ. So many believers and unbelievers are after the rudiments of this world and not going after Christ, or following every wind of doctrine, the philosophy, and vain, the traditions of men. So which a lot of traditions are going at, you know, following the law and not following what we're doing under grace. So the next one is verse 16, chapter 2, verse 16. It's kind of an overview of Colossians. And let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or on the new moon or on the Sabbath days. The law went by the Sabbath days, and we don't have to go by the Sabbath days no more. We don't have to observe those things, and and that was one thing that he was warning them. And then in verse 18, he has another one, two verses down. Let no man beguile you or your reward in the voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So a lot of believers want to have a voluntary humility, which they want to just feel bad and God feels bad for them, and that's not how we're supposed to be today. We're supposed to be bold and lifted up and knowing what we stand for. So now that's quick overview, but Colossae is a little city a few miles inland from Ephesus. So it's a little bit close to Ephesus, which is the Ephesians, and it's on the western end of modern day Turkey. So wherever Turkey, it's on the western end of that. And it was started by one of Paul's converts, which is Epaphras. And Epaphras, we'll get into him here in a bit. And Epaphras was in Ephesus, and I think it's in Acts 19, we'll probably check that out, that he was in Ephesus, and he was, the Apostle Paul set up a school there, and they were, so Epaphras kind of branched out, and they say it was Epaphras, could have been Philemon, but I'm pretty sure it was Epaphras that branched out and made a church himself, and made a congregation himself, through the Apostle Paul. So the Apostle Paul taught him, and then he went out, and that's how, he heard of that, which we'll see in a minute, and that's why he was writing it. He was right. He was, you know, this, like we just said, he written to warn of various types of false teachings. So they wanted to be careful of false teachings. It's only four chapters, but that's what its main thing was. And, you know, Paul, he went to these pagan cities like Ephesus, and it was big time. You know, they were seriously praying to other gods and goddesses, and they were so deep in idolatry, and they just, what was it, Diana? They were screaming her name for 2 hours. Like, they weren't, you know, they weren't, had nothing of the Lord and what was going on. And so he was, that's something to look up to, because he was, you know, as our pattern, we should be bold, even here in America. You know, we want to be able to be bold with the people around us, you know, and be able to preach the word and preach what, you know, we need to be doing. So, and, you know, he was able to bring people out of paganism and, you know, and save people. So, you know, Paul never met the Colossians. He was just a result of the ministry in Ephesus. And let's see what we got here. So now that's just a little breakdown of Colossae and the area. And we're going to go to verse 1. So I'm going to kind of do just verse by verse. We'll read it, and then Colossians chapter 1, verse 1. And Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother. So right there, we know Apostle Paul is doing the will of God. He at the road of Damascus, the Apostle Paul was doing what God, you know, that's God's will, to, You know, so he was not out of his will. The Apostle Paul was doing what he was supposed to be doing. And he had Timotheus, who joined him back in Acts 16:1. Timotheus' mother and father was Jew and Greek. The mother was Jew, the father was Greek, so he was half. And then, he introduced him in a lot of letters. And, so Apostle Paul was definitely not out of the will of God. It was God's will to be letting him be the apostle to the Gentiles. And then verse 2, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul, as we already know, Paul writes to saints. And just a quick overview, when you're reading your Bible, whoever's listening out there, you want to read in context. You want to see who's written to, who's it written to, who's it written by, and you know what's the context of what's being written to, or what's being written, so you can have a very good Bible study. So you can understand the Bible, because God's word is a beautiful thing to understand, and this is how we do it. So Paul always writes to believers, the Gentiles. And you see that he's always given peace. So we are under peace times. The wrath will come in tribulation in the future. But right now we're under peace and grace, and we should be like that toward one another. And so the Apostle Paul, you know, and we have peace justified. In Romans 5:1, we see that we're justified by faith without the deeds of the law. We see that in Romans 3. And Ephesians 2:1, we're quickened, who was dead in trespasses. And so Apostle Paul always comes in peace. Verse 3, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. Always praying. He's always praying. We give thanks unto God. He's always praying for the churches. Always giving thanks to God. And the Apostle Paul, I mean, he cares about what's happening to the church. Even while he's in bonds, he could be easily moping around and not, you know, but he cares about what's happening to them. And that's why he's always saying this. And he was in tribulation himself. And the Apostle Paul always prays to the Father. Always prays to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that in many, you know, many verses. I mean, we can go to, let's see. You guys probably already know that, but in Ephesians 5:20, he always prays to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. If anybody wants to know how to pray or how the Apostle Paul prayed, you know, and he always prayed continually. And the reason why he's in jail, we can shoot to Colossians chapter 4, verse 3, which is the next page. You can just go like a page. And the reason why he's in jail is because he was preaching the mystery. Because he was preaching, you know, what he was preaching. And this is why he was in jail. With all praying also for us, that God would open, chapter 4, verse 3, God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. So he was speaking with the mystery, and he's in bonds for it. And, you know, we're not going to go to jail today if we speak God's word. You know, there will be, in my opinion, I think there will be a time where they'll criminalize Christianity. They'll try, that's just my opinion, but hopefully it never comes to that. But they, you know, we're not there yet. So we still have the freedoms to be able to teach God's word. And, alright, so let's go back to chapter 1 and let's do verse 4. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which ye have to all the saints. So Apostle Paul, that's where you know that he heard of them. He wasn't there. He never physically saw them, but he heard of them. And I'm sure he was glad and rejoicing that he heard of them, you know, and he was grateful for that. And he seen that they had love for one another. And these are people who were part of the paganism. They came out of paganism and went and learned from Epaphras and learned about what the Lord is doing for us today through mystery, that in being in Christ. And that's a big step for, you know, people who were in paganism and now they're not, you know. And the Colossians had love for their fellow saints. Do we have love for each other? I mean, and them people used to be, you know, in idolatry. And how are we with each other, with others, with our enemies, with, you know, other believers? And yeah, we fall, you know, we stumble, but you know, you want to be the bigger man in Christ and just show love and let love reign. We should love unconditional. Romans 13:9 says, "Love a person like you love yourself." You know, you love yourself, well, love others like you would take care of yourselves. Love others. We can go Colossians 1:28. So it's right here, same chapter, but we can go up. "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ." True love between believers is presenting everyone perfect in Christ. You know, we want to lift each other up. And, you know, we want to tell each other, hey, if you're doing something wrong, you know, you're doing something wrong. You know, that's love, you know. Like telling your brother, dude, that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You know, that's it. Let me show you, you know, in God's word how you should conduct, or this isn't right. And that's love, you know. What is it? Open rebuke is better than secret love in Proverbs, you know. And that's, I believe in that. And I think we should be living by that. And I think the Lord thinks so too. So, let's see. All right, so now we see that the Colossians had love, you know, certain love for each other. And let's see, going into verse 5. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." So they heard of a hope and they believed in it. What is our hope? Well, our hope is one thing, is the rapture. It's one of the hopes of the Grace Church, is that we have our rapture. But there's many things too. I mean, we're blessed with spiritual blessings. We have eternal life. That alone. I mean, you think about it. I'm pretty sure the unsaved are going to stay, going to be, you know, their soul stays intact, but they're not going to be in how we're going to be. You know, we have eternal life. And that's one thing that I'm grateful for every day. Every time I think about it, it's like eternal life. You're all going to be with the Lord forever and ever, you know. So, I mean, that's something to smile about when you wake up in the morning. That's something to be grateful about, even if you're having a bad day. You got eternal life. It's a good day. So that's just how I see things. So, you know, but we have peace. I mean, peace with our Creator, reconciled. You know, we're going to be with our Creator. We're going to have a changed Christ-like body. You know, that's another thing for the people who are sick, people who are hurt, people who are not, you know, they're going through some stuff today. And there's people in this room, you know, that they have family members that are going through some stuff. And they're going to have a changed body. And they're not going to go through it no more. And because I had the privilege of visiting an old friend over this week, and his father is dying, and his body is corroded. He can't move. Yeah, he's done. They got to cut his leg off. He's pretty more than likely going to die. And I had the privilege to share the gospel with him, and he was there when I was a kid. And when I think about that, I it's one of the things I mentioned. I'm like, dude, new body. You know, that's what a good body. So that's, hey, you know, take it for what it is. I mean, we have rewards, and we will rule and reign fellow heirs with the Lord Jesus. So those are our hopes, and that's what the Colossians seen through this man Epaphras, by the Apostle Paul, by Christ. So you see that succession there, that these people had the same hopes that we have. You know, the Colossians, they were in idolatry, unsaved. Now they have these beautiful hopes that we can take with us. Every time we hit that pillow, every night, we know that we're good in the Lord. So, verse 6. Which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, that bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew of the grace of God and truth. So the day they heard of it, they brought forth fruit, and one of the fruit is the first on the list in Galatians, and back in Galatians 5, and that's the fruit of love. You know, there's love, joy, long suffering, and the first they had was love. I mean, we want to, you know, that's a good, it's a beautiful thing that they, so knew the grace of God in truth. So the Ephesians went through something similar. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. As we already know, we're sealed. We ain't going nowhere, you know. And the Colossians probably understood that. They're sealed with the Holy Spirit. You know, which is the earnest of our, verse 14, of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. So that's the Ephesians. We're, you know, seeing the same thing, sealed with the Holy Spirit. And one thing I wanted to share is love for a believer is not humanly generated. It's not a humanly generated thing. It's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit generates the love for a believer. And like I said, it's the first fruit listed in Galatians chapter 5, where it lists all the fruits. And if I get to it, we can go through the fruits, but it's in verse 10. I think it's verse 10 in Colossians, but to be fruitful. So back in Colossians, Colossians verse 7. Here we go. We got Epaphras right here again. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. So Epaphras carried letters to Colossians and probably set up the church. That's like we talked about. So he's the one who, you know, took these letters from Paul. He was a Colossian, Epaphras, and we see that in Colossians 4. Let's just look at it. Colossians 4, 12. Chapter 4, verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So you see, which is one of you. So we know that he was a Colossian. He was imprisoned. We really don't know too much, but we see in Philemon, verse 23, that he was a fellow prisoner. And so he was in prison as well. Like we talked about, men like Epaphras went to Ephesus as, and we'll go to that here right now, but went to Ephesus at a school set up by Paul and went back to his hometown and set up a church. I mean, let's go to Acts chapter 19 so we can just look at that. Verse 8. I couldn't think of the name. Under Tyrannus. I thought it was Tynicus, but yeah. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months. This is the Paul. Disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. So disputing and persuading. So that's. But when divers were hardened, and believed not, but spake evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued, verse 10, by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So there, right there, that's probably where Epaphras and some others, for the space of that 2 years, were learning, and they took it back to their hometowns. So, beautiful thing. So, let's go to 2 Timothy 2. And we're going here because the Apostle Paul used to have, send different men, and maybe we should be the same. This is a good thing to 2 Timothy 2. And, we do the same, as brothers and sisters in Christ. 2 Timothy 2, chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We should all be faithful men and women. This is our calling. This is what we should be doing. We all fall short. Romans tells us that. But this is what it's about. This is our service. We should be serving the Lord by serving others and getting this out there. This is the real news that should be going out there. We'll listen to some of this news, to be informed on social media, and trust me, I watch that, but this is the real news that should be going out and everybody should be more focused on and more attentive to, and putting their, because I can watch alternative media, which is against the mainstream media, which the news is more honest, and even though it's more honest, you still can get lost in that for an hour or two, and that's a whole hour or two that you missed that you could be in God's Word, it happens, but the Lord, I'm sure, wants us to be balanced. Wants us to be perfect, to reach the mark of perfection, to be the best that we can be. And so I know we can do it. So I wanted to show you that because we're supposed to commit other men. And Paul sent people for the ministry. You can see that in chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, chapter 4, verse 12. And Tychus have I sent to Ephesus. So he sent Tychus to Ephesus. 2 Timothy 4, let's go a few verses back, 7 and 8. And this is we want to fight the good fight. I have fought a good fight. 2 Timothy 4, verse 7. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up of me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. I want to let you, do you love his appearing? Do you want to be like the Apostle Paul is, where he has a crown of righteousness and to fight the good fight? This is a battle we're in. It's spiritual warfare, not by flesh and blood. This is a battle. And like, if you heard Brother Ray Seiler's teachings, that, you know, we are supposed to be equipped and of our armor, you know, and this is the battle that we got going on, and you want to fight that good fight. Because what if you were in jail? Are you going to be, what if something happened and you went to jail? What if you hurt yourself and you can't do much? You still want to be able to be in that battle. So, you know, so, because that's what it is. We'll have our rest when we're in heaven, but there's going to be, we want to keep the battle, and that we all, we know it gets weary sometimes, but that's really what we want to be on, that battle. And I wanted to kind of highlight 2 Timothy chapter 4, same chapter, but verse 10. So, same chapter, verse 10. For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica. So, don't love that present world. Don't love this present world. This present world is going to be, you talk about a big bang. The big bang never happened at the beginning. It's going to happen at the end. The Lord is going to fervently melt all the elements. All this is going to be done for. This present world, the music, the, you know, the celebrities, and, you know, everyone portraying themselves as, you know, like they're great and all these beautiful things of the world. Now, don't get me wrong. I love nature and loving, you know, the things of, you know, that God created. But we're talking about them, the world, you know, the one that the Lord tells us not to be of this world, you know. And that's, Demas forsaken Paul and went, you know, so we don't want to be like Demas. We want to be like Epaphras. You know, where we set up things in our own places and reach out to others. Yeah, so that's definitely what the mark we want to reach, huh? And all right, well, so let's go back to Colossians. Colossians, and let's move forward in verse 8. Who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So there you go again. The Colossians, they were pagans, probably didn't have a good definition of love when they were in their paganism, but now they do. And they know it's in Christ, and we need to show love to each other. And we want to show love, and we should be taking care of our body, the temple. This is the body, the temple. We should be doing all that we can to be taking care of it so we can be equipped to be healthy and to show love and to grieve not the Spirit. Ephesians 4:30 says not to grieve, grieve not the Spirit. And show love to family, you know, fellow believers, friends, and even our enemies. And alright, you know, who knows? If you're your enemy, you might be able to turn them to be saved somehow by showing them love. And, you know, even though there's, we should pray for our leaders, even their enemies to, you know, our country. They're traitors to what our country stands for, like in Christ, what our country stands for, and they're an enemy of the people, but we should still show love to them. You know? I mean, yeah, we want them to be gone and out of our sight, but the Lord has ordained people, you know, of power, and they're an enemy. So the Lord can use them just like He uses good, you know, good men. So they think they're not being used, but the Lord's got His hand all over that. You know, He's working them to where, you know, that it'll be the furtherance of the gospel, and that the Bible is, the Bible is somewhat of like a timeline. Like right now we're in the present. We know we have the past, but in the future those things are need to come. So whether they be bad or good, you know, those things are going to come, and the Lord knows that those things have come because He prophesied it. There's no, you know, like they say that the global warming is going to destroy the earth. No, the earth is going to be here for a long time, until after the 1,000 years, you know, and that's, you know, that it's not going anywhere. So for you to believe, you know, all what some of these things are doing, like I'm not saying maybe the earth is getting warmer, but not to a point where we're going to destroy ourselves, because God's got that. Amen. You know, God's got what God is in that. Not the politicians telling us, well, you should do this and this, and this is what you should look out for. No, I already got instructions what to look out for. You know, so I don't need your instructions. Yeah, I'll listen to it. God gave me a mind to discern. Gave us a mind to discern for ourselves. You know, to be wise. And if we can get to it, I'll show you that wisdom. You know, and to be wise, to make very sound decisions. So we want to be in sound decisions and sound doctrine. So, okay, so let's go to verse 9. For this cause, we also, so for the cause that the Colossians were, you know, they're doing so good, they love each other, they're, you know, they're in Christ, they got Epaphras, for this cause. So now the Apostle Paul is going to be praying for them now. He's got a sevenfold prayer for them. And seven is, you know, one of God's numbers. And for this cause, we also, since the day we heard of it, did not cease to pray for you. There you go again. He wants us to be praying as much as we can. And his desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So, what I say is the knowledge of his will and all spiritual understanding. So, his knowledge of his will. So, false teaching is an expression of the will of man, originating in the depraved mind of man. So we see that in Ephesians 2. True teaching is the expression of the will of God, originating in the mind of God, and recorded in the Word of God, the Bible. Paul understood this and uses true teaching to combat false teaching. So basically what I'm saying is that false teaching comes from our own, you know, we want to go to God our own way instead of going to God God's way. And that comes up with false teachings. And God's way today is not through the law. And he did not show the Colossians, Apostle Paul, you read Colossians, he did not show them to go to the law. He showed them to go to, you'll see in verse 25 here, Colossians 1:25, Colossians, wherefore I am made a minister. Here we go, the Apostle Paul is made a minister. According to the dispensation of God, which is given to me, you, to fulfill the word of God, and even the mystery which hath been hid. See, he's teaching them the mystery which hath been hid from ages. So this was hidden. This is not prophecy. This isn't prophesied, you know, throughout the whole Bible. You know, this is a secret. This is something. It's a mystery. So, mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, from King David, from all the kings, from all them generations, was hidden. And now is made manifest to his saints, which is us, which is the Colossians. It's made manifest for them to back then and for us today. To whom God would make known what is the riches of his glory, of this mystery, of this secret, among the Gentiles, us, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is our hope. This is what we got going on, the mystery. And we're, you know, the Jews in times past, you know, they had an earthly hope. And they were in prophecy, and we're in mystery. So this is what he was teaching the Colossians. They were pagan. They didn't know about the Jews, and I'm sure they didn't know much about their past and all this. So, you know, but even then, they say it's going to be easier to teach people that don't, you know, that weren't. But they still, you know, were human, so they still had their problems. So we can go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 12. And here's another one. This is another one, knowledge of his will. And we also know God has, you know, different wills, where one of them is to have all men to come to the knowledge of his truth. You know, his will is all men to have come to the knowledge of his truth and be saved. But here's another. This is pertaining to what we're talking about, being in context. So Colossians 3, verse 12. Let's do verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So in him is Christ. And ye are complete. We are complete in him. We're complete in him, which is the head of all principality, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands. That's different than the Israel. You know, that's, what is that? You know, made without hands. And putting off the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. And buried with him in baptism, identification, wherein also you are risen with him. So we are buried and risen with him. We can go to verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. Okay, so now there's no more ordinances. Law observance is abolished. That was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. There's no more, you know, the law where we have to follow the law. That's all that has been put aside for a moment. And I love this verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. So I just kind of visualize, you know, the spiritual, where all the angels and the demons and Satan himself, and like they thought that they had him at the cross, but in reality he put a show on the Lord Jesus and said, "Look, you're in my, this is mine," you know, and he put a show for them, and he said, he, you know, spoiled the principalities and powers, those governments in the spiritual realm, you know, in the spirit, you know, and he, I just love that, because he triumphed over them. That's it. He just triumphed over them, and that was, I can just see the fate, you know, whatever they look like them, but they probably were like, they couldn't believe it. They thought they had the Lord, and, you know, the angels and the demons and the Satan, that's when he probably knew he was done for, you know. Fulfilled the first prophecy, Genesis 3, you know, and that was, you know, and, yeah, so I just like that, because I kind of visualize, you know, the spirit, they're just like, what? What's going on? You know, we're supposed to be winning. This is supposed to be our thing. And the Lord took that. And now his own people killed him, you know. So Satan probably thought he was, you know, the Jews killed their Messiah. So they probably thought they had something going on. But then we were in 16 earlier, and let no man therefore judge you and me. So all that is abolished. All the observances, you know, we don't have to be doing none of that. And practicing some of those actually is a sin. So We don't want to be doing that. And that's the knowledge of his will. The Holy Spirit produces in us the knowledge of his will. And let's see. Got a few verses. Colossians were instructed in the mystery. Yeah, they were instructed in the mystery, not in the law, the Colossians. And let's go. So I read that. Colossians 2. They had no knowledge of the Old Testament. You've seen that in 1 Corinthians. And wisdom and spiritual understanding. So that's, we're still in verse 9, but they, you know, come to knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So the wisdom and spiritual understanding, I mean, how many Christians today do you think, you know, Christianity with all their denominations, I mean, do they have spiritual wisdom and understanding? I don't think there's many, you know, that really, truly, like, and not like how we have it here or grace believers abroad. You know, we have true wisdom and spiritual understanding by the Holy Spirit. And I wanted to, so it's a scary thing, you know, that so many Christians out there are just, you know, sucking on the milk. You know, they're not getting into the meats of what God's word is really talking about. And I wanted to, we can go to 1 Corinthians to kind of show you that. And as we're going, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, you guys probably know this verse, these verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. And I know sometimes it could be difficult, you know, we have slothfulness, and I was just telling one of my cousins, the Lord does not like slothfulness. He wants a prudent man. He wants a man that's diligent for his word. We should be diligent. We should be doers. We should be doers. And I, you know, the slothful man has not much rewards. Everything I've seen that God talks about being slothful, it's always negative. So nothing comes out of it. He wants us to be diligent and prudent. And just as I always show a verse, I always show something of we all know about Mike Tyson and all him, but just quickly, there's a thing that his trainer used to cuss the motto. He had a trainer that was, the way I see it, was very wise. And Mike Tyson used to tell Mike Tyson that discipline is doing things that you hate doing, but doing them like you love it. So we're not saying to hate, you know, reading your Bible and then just pretending like you love it. It's more of like, if you're being slothful, you got to force yourself. You'll get that second wind, you know. You'll get that energy. You know, you may not feel it for that hour, but the next hour you'll feel it. You'll start saying, "Man, I'm getting some head ground here," you know. And that's, and so that's where we do not want to be slothful, for sure. And it happens, but as we grow, we want to make it less and less intervals of time, you know, where it's like, all right, I'm getting slothful, I need to get back up, you know. So, and 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, and I think we'll end with this one. So this is Paul to the Corinthians. And let's do verse 4. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom. See, we don't want to be part of man's wisdom. That's what this verse 9 back then saying. But in demonstration of the spirit of the power. We want the spirit to be demonstrating for us. And that your faith should not stand in wisdom of men. No, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in the mystery. There goes that word. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. So before the world began, he ordained this for our glory, the body of Christ, which none of the princes of this world knew. We're talking about them spiritual princes, the one they got made a show of, you know. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. You see that? They would have reneged and took that back. They would have said, oh no, we're not killing this dude. You know, they would have at least tried to do something, but they didn't know, because God knows everything that's going to happen. He's in control of everything, even though it feels like it's not. And he openly made a show of these guys. And this is where, and we're still on the wisdom and spiritual understanding. So they wouldn't have killed him. The princes of this world, those are the spiritual angelic beings, the evil ones. But that is written, and this is what we can take home as well. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Colossians switched their evil ways and they love him now. They loved him back then. And that's where he wrote to the Colossians, and we can read this. So we can love the Lord and love each other. And then verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit is what helps us, and you can go home and read the next later in that chapter, and you see that we're supposed to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. That's comparing Scripture with Scripture instead of just our own mind. Like we were saying, man's depravity of mind just comes up with things. No, we want to see what God says about what God says in another part of the Bible. So, and you can read the rest of that, but the deep things of God. So, I'm grateful that I'm up here, and I'm grateful for all yous, and we can just leave here today, and, you know, so hopefully this opened something, to let you see something, and I'll just quickly end us in prayer. I mean, Father, thank you for another time to come together, and we want it to be all for your glory, all for your glory and your Son, and none of us, and let you be uplifted, and let the saints leave here and start our week strong and bold, just like the Apostle Paul and Epaphras. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.